Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, the co-chairman of the IBM Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the endowment by visiting us on the web at www.businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our special guest this morning is John Marshall. John's the Assistant Administrator for Management at the U.S. Agency for International Development. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Paul.
And joining us in our conversation is Patty Fisher. Good morning, Patty.
Hello, Paul.
Well, John, perhaps you could start by describing a little bit about USAID for us, its mission and its activities.
Sure. USAID is an independent agency that provides economic development and humanitarian assistance throughout the world to developing and countries in transition. Its origins go back to the Marshall Plan that rebuilt Europe following World War II, and it actually was in the early 1960s spinned off from the State Department. It had been a bureau of the State Department, but John F. Kennedy created USAID as an independent agency. And since then, it's been more or less in the purview of the State Department. Today, it's actually reports to the Secretary of State, although it still has independence as an agency.
Could you give us a sense of its budget and the number of people and sort of the size of its activities?
Sure. It's the budget in this fiscal year is about $9.4 billion. There are about 8,000 employees around the world, about 2,000 here in Washington, and about 6,000 overseas.
How about the range of skills? As you were describing sort of the mission, I sort of have different types of different visions of what those skills would be. What are the skills of the employees?
Well, it's a variety of skills corresponding to the main programmatic areas. Humanitarian assistance are individuals who understand the governance of countries around the world, governance systems, economic systems. They try to help countries who are transitioning bring forth modernization in their governmental structures, moving towards accepting the rule of law, free market economies, and democratic values. We have health professionals who are working on all kinds of health issues around the world. HIV/AIDS, for example, is an enormous driver today in our program, in our health-related programs. Other forms of humanitarian assistance, people who can mobilize quickly and get food and emergency relief supplies into distressed areas, and economic development specialists, people who know how to drive the levers of growth in an economy and help economies take root and flourish and improve the standard of living for the citizens of these countries.
John, with all of those tasks underway, how do you determine where aid focuses its attention?
Well, we focus on countries, again, that are challenged, that are developing, that are in transition. We concentrate primarily on four regions of the world, Latin America and the Caribbean, Africa, Europe and Eurasia, and Asia and Near East. We get a lot of help in terms of how we select the countries we work in. Congress earmarks money for political purposes all around the world and for programmatic purposes. And so the amount of discretion we have is somewhat limited within a budget as large as $8 or $9 billion a year. But almost all of the activity has to do with one of those three or four programmatic themes I mentioned.
I know aid has many accomplishments, but are there a couple that come to mind that you could discuss with us?
Well, right now the real focus is on the part of the world in the Middle East where there's so much of a challenge. We're in the middle of rebuilding Afghanistan, and now we're moving rapidly into rebuilding Iraq. We've had some pretty remarkable success in Afghanistan over the last number of years and in rebuilding the economy and providing humanitarian assistance and getting agricultural production, improving medical and health services and educational services in place. And we're doing those same kinds of things in Iraq, immediately providing humanitarian assistance and then following that up with economic development assistance to repair the damage, get the roads and systems of commerce moving again, and helping the country lift itself back up from the conflict.
As the Assistant Administrator of Management and the CIO of USAID, You have an awful lot of responsibilities, John. Would you expand on your role and responsibilities at the agency?
I head the largest bureau in the agency in Washington, the Management Bureau, which has about 425 employees. And they encompass five offices, which correspond to the five management systems that we use in Washington and around the world: financial management, procurement, the information technology area, human resources, and administrative services. I also serve as the agency's CIO, and I'm responsible for managing the administrator's management reform activities, as well as the president's management reform agenda.
Tell us about your career before you got to aid.
Well, thanks, Paul. I actually was cursed with a public service work ethic. So about half of my 20-some-plus years have been in the private sector and about half in the public sector. And even when I've been in the private sector for several consulting firms, it's been when I've been out of the government and focusing on helping working with the government as a consultant. Back in the I started in government not long after business school, back in the early 80s, in the Reagan administration and Bush 41 administration, and I served in appointed positions at the Education Department, at OMB, and at Agriculture Department. When I left the first Bush administration in 1990, I'd been head of the Federal Crop Insurance Corporation, and then I went back into consulting, and then did a term on the U.S. Senate Committee on Governmental Affairs, working on legislative reforms to the management of the federal government, and then I joined my latest consulting organization before coming back to the government 2 years ago, which was IBM's consulting group, and I was with IBM from 1997 to 2001.
You said you were cursed by a draw to public service. I'm curious if you explain what drew you and what drew you back.
It's just been an interest throughout my life of public sector governmental issues, and something I got into early in my career, and something I just have found a continuing interest in. It's been a mixed blessing. There are a lot of challenges, a lot of rewards. It hasn't provided as much prosperity as other careers might provide, but a lot of rewards, and never run out of challenges in the public service.
Well, let me ask you to do a little contrasting because of the different sectors you've been in. In terms of management style or culture, how would you contrast the public sector versus the private sector?
I think both sectors certainly have very capable employees. I think the talent levels are pretty comparable. The government, unfortunately, is hampered by a lot of bureaucratic systems that get in the way and impede progress and results. The private sector organizations I've been with have tended to be smaller organizations where you have more flexibility and can react with more speed to changes in the market and business dynamics. And so I'd say that's the biggest difference that you notice right off the bat is it takes longer to get things done in the government. Also, particularly at USAID, I'm at an agency which has suffered enormous staffing cuts during the 1990s, and the agency doesn't have a whole lot of capacity to not only perform its day-to-day work, but to change the way it does business, which all of the reform agendas are driving it to do. And that makes getting progress and seeing results a very difficult challenge in the government.
How about the scale of government? Often when people come to government, I know you have been in and out, people are surprised at the scale. So I'm just curious how that would fit into the comparison.
Yeah, scale is part of it, although any individual agency you might work for, there are three or four that would rank if they were commercial among the top 5 or 10 in the Fortune 500, but there are many other large corporations that are comparable scale to a number of government agencies, which are also, have their bureaucratic aspects, but aren't nearly as bureaucratic as the federal government. So I'd say that the scalability is an issue, but certainly it just seems to be more ingrained into the systems, and modernizing is just a whole lot tougher in the government.
Let me ask you to contrast your experience with the Senate in the legislative branch versus now in the executive branch.
Well, it was a fascinating experience being part of the Senate staff that creates a lot of the laws that, as a government manager and executive, it's been my responsibility to implement. It's a fast moving environment. Developing legislation, you see, it is a bit like making sausage. It's not the prettiest sight, but and you see the interest groups at work. You see you see results oftentimes pretty quickly. The impetus for a bill can come up pretty rapidly, and the Congress can act when it needs to. Look, witness the Homeland Security legislation that was just passed this year in response to a national emergency. It can do things. They created that new department a whole lot faster than the federal government, than the executive branch will put it in place. You also see the compromise. You see a lot of the pressures for differences between the House and the Senate side. You know, where things the Senate, things are more collegial. Things take longer. You have the filibuster threat always takes 60 or more votes to get a law enacted. It gives you a whole different perspective on where the laws came from and what the impulses were behind them. I think it's helpful overall. And being a manager in the executive branch, knowing how the legislature works and having contacts down there, I think can be very invaluable.
Interesting, but we've got to go to a break. Rejoin us in a few minutes as we continue our conversation with John Marshall of USAID. This is the Business of Government Hour.